Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you, folks, for joining us and appreciate your staying with us. And by the way, asking you to again visit our cctaxpayers.com website. 41 individuals gave me answers or gave us answers to specific questions. These were persons running for various offices. I want to thank all of those folks that did supply their answers. And again, we're just finishing up with this election. Right now, I'm going to change topics. And then I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Oh, good. We're done with that part.
Okay. I'm going to talk about an article that appeared at Town Hall. Now, we're recording this on Wednesday. And today's the 6th, right?
Correct.
Yeah, this appeared today. No, I'm sorry. It appeared on Tuesday. And this is a Freedom of Information lawsuit filed by the Center for Immigration Studies has found out that 320,000 inadmissible illegal aliens last year were pre-approved by the CBP One app and flown directly into the country from Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Colombia, and Ecuador without having to cross at the border. So these people are not included in the numbers that are swarming our southern border. This is a whole separate thing that's been enabled by the Biden administration and their CBP One app program that allows them to come directly in. And the program gives them a 2-year legal status allowing them to work. They're here from countries that aren't necessarily our friends and aren't necessarily sending us their most wonderful citizens.
Yeah, but what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Get rid of Biden.
Complain about it.
If anybody had any doubts that this mass migration invasion, I like to call it an invasion.
Yes.
Was not planned. This is the kind of information that should put those doubts to rest, because it's clear that this was planned, this was part of their strategy, and this is just another confirmation of it. And it was an interesting book that I was looking at the other day. The title of it is Weapons of Mass Migration. Weapons of Mass Migration. And the lady who wrote the book, her thesis was that there are countries, and many of them, this was voted on by the UN. The UN had an act that they voted for back in, I think it was 2014 or 15, that essentially allows and encourages migration throughout the world between countries. They want to minimize the difficulty of people have migrating one country to another, which is all part of the global idea. The idea, we're going to do away with countries, we're going to do away with nationalities, we're all going to be one global society. That's part of the thrust to it. At that time, our country voted against it. But the point is that these things are occurring and we're funding them. Getting back, I think it was you implying, Glenn, a second ago, who's paying for all these flights? We're paying for it. Now, we may not be paying for it directly from our government, but a lot of this money is being funneled through these, what they call NGOs, these non-governmental organizations. And many of them exist from outside the country. And there was one that I read about the other day. It's called the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. And they received $11 million from the United States government for their activities. And their activities are supposed to assist the immigrants. Now, theoretically, I suppose, maybe some people think they're giving them food and water and things like that. But in reality, it's being funneled off to set up camps to facilitate their movement. And we are, in fact, paying for our own demise under this administration.
And how many of these NGOs are funded indirectly or directly through the UN by way of Chinese Communist Party?
Sure. I think an interesting thing, if you look back at the European Common Union, or that their purpose was to allow the depletion of the border. Border is no longer significant. You're allowed to move freely between those things, much like we're allowed to move freely between our states. Yeah. However, our states have one common set of constitutional
rules
or requirements, and there's certain things that each state can do, but we're working on a common basis. In Europe, there is not that same commonality, but yet they're depleting the borders.
And if you look at what's going on in Europe, there are some serious rifts within the European Union. And again, this idea of the globalist, the one world government, all of us can't even get along with our next door neighbors. How are we going to get along with everybody in the world? I don't think that's a realistic, even if we could get a one world government that wasn't a dictatorship, the idea of us all getting along with each other, I think, is hilarious.
You know, and that, Mary, brings up this whole idea of assimilation. You know, this idea that the United States is a melting pot, that, you know, these different groups can come in and they all turn out to be American. Now, that probably worked reasonably well when most of the people came from Western civilization countries, from Europe. Now, Italians speak a different language than Germans, they speak a different language from French, but their cultural background tradition from the Judeo-Christian background, there's a lot of similarities to their values and so on. But when you start introducing people from the Muslim world, China, other cultures that are completely different from our traditions, and you expect those people to assimilate and become all one patriotic American group, that's not going to work. It can't work.
Well, that's not the goal, though. They don't want them to become American patriotic group. They want them... It's the anti-American movement because they want to destroy us.
And that change is the result of Ted Kennedy, who changed our immigration percentages back in the 70s, I think, 70s or 80s.
It was actually in the 60s. And what happened was in the 1920s, the Republican-controlled House and Senate, they passed, and it was signed by the president at that time, might have been Harding or, but anyway. What they did was they restricted the immigration into the country because they realized at that time, this was in the 1920s, that even though most of the immigrants were coming from Europe, they were overwhelming our ability to assimilate them.
Yeah.
So they put a restriction on it, slowed it down dramatically, and that stayed that way until, like you say, until Ted Kennedy. In the 1960s, they changed that, and then he opened it up to the entire world. And
they
this is part of what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they took away the percentages from most of them.
And you know, ethnic. There's a lot to be said positively about ethnic tradition. New York City still has Chinatown, and it has certain areas of the city that you go in and you can get ethnic food, and they have, whatever ethnic group it is, has kept their traditions alive, but they've become Americans, and I think that's great. I had a very good friend growing up whose parents were first-generation Americans, and she was Polish, and I used to love going over there at Christmas time for the cookies. But, I mean, there are traditions that come with ethnicity that are wonderful, but there also has to be an assimilation into America. And we're taking in numbers that cannot be assimilated.
This is a separate idea to the discussion so far, but I'm hearing more and more about illegal immigrants getting registered to vote. I don't know if this is only on local levels. I understand they already impact the congressional numbers and
because of
the census adjustment for that.
That Biden made.
So I just started picking up on that more and more lately.
And one of the things that I read about today was apparently Merrick Garland is going to try to undo voter ID. Now, of course, you need an ID to go into the congressional offices and all that stuff, but you may not need an ID to
vote. I saw a meme today, and it said, when ID is not racist, buy a car, rent a car, get a hotel room, buy cigarettes, buy booze. No. When ID is racist, voting.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, Merrick Garland was in a black church talking about how voter ID is discriminatory, and what was the other issue he said was discriminatory? And I guess he didn't read the room, because I wonder how many of the black people in there understood what he said to be racist based on the idea that none of those black people knew how to get an ID.
At what point is the black community going to realize they're being insulted by being told they're not capable of getting an ID?
And by the way, I think they've really, really learned that now. They're trying to wake up to that. Or there's a lot of areas where they're not going to allow everything to be pulled over their eyes. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Mary, you have something that you want to add?
Today is Wednesday, and today Politico posted an article about two ballot measures that were approved by voters in San Francisco. And the first was to begin screening welfare recipients for drugs. They're going to do drug testing before they can receive any kind of a benefit. They have to be drug tested. And the other amendment or the other, what would you call it, the other ballot measure was giving the police additional powers, easing restrictions on motor vehicle chases and the use of public surveillance cameras and drones to combat crime. San Francisco has a crime problem. Recently, a lot of retail chains have closed in San Francisco because of theft. They can't keep operating with the losses of theft. And I think the mayor has finally realized that they have a problem. More than 800 people died of drug overdoses in San Francisco last year.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that they passed those things because they really believe it. But with the trouble that the Democrats are in with the open borders and now with the crime issue, you wonder how much of it is just kind of to protect staying in power. But they announced today, just in related to what you're talking about, Mary, was in New York City, they're having such a problem with subway crime that the governor of New York announced a program in which he's going to send the National Guard, the New York chapter or whatever of the National Guard, to the subways, including additional police and so on, because the crime has gotten so bad, people can't use the subways, and that's a main source of transportation. So, it's really impacting on the citizens. And hopefully, we have an election coming up in November, and hopefully these people will begin to see that they need to make some changes. Or they're going to leave the cities. I mean, there's places now, I wouldn't go to those cities.
The subway problem has been there before. It was there in the early 90s under David Dinkins.
Yeah, but I'm going to interrupt and say, but the fact that we're not arresting criminals and holding criminals, that's really, really added.
That's part of the root. But when Giuliani came in and he enforced the broken windows policy, which meant that you dealt with the small crimes and the big crimes went away, the city was like night and day. It used to be if you were in line waiting to go in the Holland Tunnel, some homeless person came and spit on your windshield and wiped it with a cloth and asked you for money. And when Giuliani came in, that stopped. That wasn't there anymore. And unfortunately, we've gone back to the days of David Dinkins rather than the days of Rudy Giuliani.
Where are we going to go from here?
Pat, what you got?
Shall we have a report on Fannygate?
Of course.
Oh, let's do that.
Let's talk about Fannie Willis. the judge ended the testimony against her, and all the lawyers made their closing arguments. And since then, there have been a couple of motions filed to reopen the case for admission of new evidence. And the new evidence, there's two lawyers that have come forward to give testimony that the relationship started in 2019. Which is way before the two
admission.
Of them testified that it started in 2023, right? Two of the witnesses, Nate and the guy that was his divorce attorney, Bradley, I think his name is, had testified that they hadn't seen each other since 2021, and a waiter has come forward and said they had lunch together the other day. I waited on them. not good liars. There have been documents filed that Fannie tried to tamper with a witness by.
Is that what they call it now?
Witness tampering. Well, this is actual under the statute witness tampering, not witness tampering, because she spoke to a guy who was going to be a witness and said they're coming after us. Don't talk to him about us, meaning boyfriend and me. That's tampering with a witness.
And I believe that witness was another lawyer. Or there was also a lawyer that apparently she was interrupting.
Yeah, it was.
Well, didn't they track a lot of their phone messages,
yes,
their phone calls, and they had, like, with the boyfriend, what's his name?
Nate.
Yeah,
Nate.
That he had made phone calls, like 30 or 40 phone calls from
Jay.
Right next in the neighborhood of where Fonny lived. And it was like in the middle of the night and so on and so forth. Yet he denied being there. And they asked him, well, how do you account for that? He said, well, it's probably the phone company making a mistake. I mean, what's so troubling about this is that the same people that are lying under oath would be the first ones that would nail Trump or nail any of us if we perjured ourselves. They're purging
even accidentally
themselves all over the place and with no... just brazenly for him to come out and say, no, it was the phone. You know, it's really scary that how the judicial system has become so corrupted in this country.
Well, didn't I read this morning that Fonny was meeting with Kamala Harris?
Why are you calling her Fonny? Her name is Fanny.
Is it really?
Yeah. The reason the women on The View started calling her Fonny, so it didn't sound like Fanny.
Well, Trump had his one of his rallies the other day. He brought that. He said, well, I think she might like to be called Fonny, or she says Fonny. I thought her name was Fanny. So he brought that. He made a joke about it, which,
yeah,
you know, he's always good at doing stuff.
Isn't she meeting with Kamala Harris sometime in the next day or two? Did you read that?
No, I haven't read that.
Okay, well, keep your eye on that. Keep
That'll
your
be
eye.
Interesting.
And there's also
Women History Month. Maybe they're going to talk about women's history.
There's also some question about campaign donations by judges and things like that. I mean, this is like corruption on steroids.
Well, my understanding is that that this judge does not have to conclude that there was something inappropriate occurring. He can actually disqualify them if there's a perception of some sort of collusion.
We got perception. Lots of perception.
So, I mean, how he could not find that with all this, it would be shocking. But knowing Fulton County, Georgia, you don't know what you're going to expect.
Well, I thought about that this morning. I thought, what if the judge decided that the stakes were such that he could rule against disqualification? What kind of blowback would he get? And I think we've passed that point. I think he would be made a laughingstock. The argument would be made this is more corruption. And so I don't see how he's going to get around. What he can save himself, Alan, by saying there is an appearance of impropriety. I'm not going to say there's impropriety.
Yeah, but appearance is what I'm saying is appearance of impropriety is sufficient to have them taken off the case.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
He's going to save himself by saying, I didn't find an actual impropriety, but I found a perception of impropriety.
But you still think he might take them off the case?
And if he didn't,
yes.
And if he didn't find that, I know it would be immediately appealed the next level up.
I don't know that it's appealable.
What makes a case appealable?
That it's a final order. And this isn't a final order. It's a pre-trial order. Uh-huh. So I don't know that they would be able to. And it's within the judge's discretion. And the appeals court cannot substitute their judgment for that of the judge as to credibility of witnesses.
You mean all this is going on and we haven't even hit trial yet?
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
No, trial was supposed to start in August.
Oh, my.
And the troubling thing about the judge's situation is that he is, like most judges, voted in to his position from Fulton County. So he is one of them. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, a judge from some other jurisdiction who can come in and be objective.
He has
to be concerned about getting reelected.
He's up this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Folks, we always thought that Days of Our Lives, the soap operas, was going to last for years and years and years. This may likewise last for years and years and years. Now, where are we going to go?
How about the election?
She's not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I take that suggestion.
I'm going to take a right turn here and talk about Letitia James. Remember her, the AG that's trying to bankrupt Trump with that New York case? Somebody decided to take a look into Letitia James's finances. And remember, not last week, because I wasn't here, but the week before, I was talking about smurfing, mm-hmm. where the so-called contributions, when you downloaded them and then put them in alphabetical order, it would show that Patricia, who's not employed, made, 300 donations on the same day of $15, $20, and added up to $30,000. And that there were all these people that had done it, and that the people that had discovered it were going to look in the other 50 states to see if it was being done there. Well, Letitia James has the same issue. And she's been a public servant for her career. And so she doesn't have a bunch of money, but she's been taking these fantastic vacations to Puerto Rico, where she's spending thousands of dollars on hotels, airlines, meals, gifts. It's the same kind of funding for her.
Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here, folks. Wow.
Yeah, it's so corrupt. The stuff that we're surrounded with, it just makes you want to take a bath.
Now, where are we going to go?
I think, are we coming up on a break?
We're coming up on a break. Why don't we take a break a little bit? We'll take a break a little bit early. Okay, you want to tease something?
Absolutely. When we get back, let's talk about yesterday's election.
Yesterday's election. Folks, this was a good election. We'll be right back. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call. Thank you.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, CCT8 Wake Up Call. Now we're going to change hats to the election. So where do we want to go with the election?
Well, Bob, I had an opportunity earlier today to put together some of the figures on the election, obviously as a primary election compared to a general election. The turnout you would expect is lower. It's traditionally always been that way. But what I found was statewide, the turnout was 24% of the registered voters. And in Craven County, it was about 2 percentage points higher. So we actually exceeded what the state did. Now, by party affiliation, I don't have that information, but there might have been some differences there. But I think if you look at the candidates, hopefully... a lot of the more conservative people that, you know, we as an organization would support, hopefully a lot of them got elected. Now, there's going to be some runoff. There's, I believe, two races. If you get below 30%, then if somebody challenges you, they can force you into a runoff.
To a runoff between
it doesn't happen automatically, but somebody who is defeated can say, well, and I want to run off. So I don't know whether that's going to happen. There's two races where that did occur. But there were several elections that I think were very positive from a conservative viewpoint. Now, hopefully those people will, when they're in office, do what they say they're going to do, which doesn't always happen. But I think that the turnout was generally pretty positive, I thought.
Well, the 25% turnout is not wonderful. It seems like in a representative republic we can do better than that. But I think the thing that a lot of people fail to realize is that the primary elections form your farm team. The people that are elected in the primaries are the people you're going to get to vote for in November. And if you want a choice in November, you have to vote in the primary elections to ensure that you get that choice. And if you don't create a farm team, you don't have a team. If you don't have competition at the primary level where you can make a choice, then by the time you get to the regular election, your choices are going to be very limited.
And I think what Bob had mentioned earlier in the broadcast about what CCTA had done about getting questions answered from various candidates, I think that was very helpful. I passed that information out to my friends and acquaintances, and a lot of them came back and said they appreciate it, because at a primary, it's sometimes more difficult for the average voter because there are a number of candidates. Like in the lieutenant governor race, they had 11 candidates. So how can any particular voter sort out between those people? They're trying to look for, like, the most conservative person. It's very difficult to do that. So I think what CCTA did and what you did, Bob, was really helpful in that regard.
Thank you. Appreciate
but it
that.
Does get it does get open up the question, or it does introduce the notion of open versus closed primaries. An open primary is anyone, regardless of party affiliation, can get whatever ballot they want. So if you walk in and you're unaffiliated, you can say, well, I want a Republican ballot or I want a Democrat ballot, and you can have a choice. And the problem with that, from one perspective, is that if you believe that a certain party has a right to select their candidate that they're choosing, that can get all muddled up. It's like, I think it was in
Vermont,
I think, that where
Nikki Haley won.
Yeah, she won, but I think it was like they considered maybe 40 to 50, almost 50% people who voted for her were actually not Republicans. So she took the benefit, and the problem with that is you could conceivably, if, say, you were a non-conservative group, you could go get a ballot and vote for non-conservative candidates and take the conservative candidates off, make losers of them. So it's really, to me, it's questionable that to allow these open primaries.
Alan, the other part of that, too, is how many of the 40 or whatever percent of non-Republicans that voted for Nikki Haley are going to vote Republican in the general election.
Yeah. You know, I think if you want to see the equivalent of the open primary, if you go to California, California has a, quote, open primary, that it's just the two highest vote getters will be the two candidates. Now, if the two highest vote getters were both Democrats, okay, so you've got a Democrat versus a Democrat. This time around, we had Adam Schiff versus Steve Garvey. So we've got the two, at least the two parties represented.
Yeah.
And I read this morning that evidently Adam Schiff's campaign supported Steve Garvey because they felt that he would be the easiest candidate to beat. I hope they're proven wrong.
Well, the registration out there is.
But if it can be manipulated.
It will be.
It will be manipulated.
That's true.
And you see that with, like you're saying, Mary, with the funding, because some people believe that in Nikki Haley's case, she received funding from usually traditional Democratic big funders. Mm-hmm. And that was what was funding her campaign. And even Gavin Newsom came out the other day and said that Nikki Haley is really helping the Democrats because she's out there attacking Trump. So, again, it messes up us being able to get reliable conservatives that we have confidence in when you have open primaries.
And you do wonder what her political future is. Are we going to see a third party run? Are we going to see her become a Democrat? I don't know, but I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Well, because certainly she's burned her bridges in the Republican Party.
She shot herself in the foot this morning when she announced that she was withdrawing it. She did not
endorse
come out and
Trump.
Endorse the leader, the, you know, Donald Trump. And the other people got out. I believe they all did. And she also, see, when she agreed to the debates, the Republican National Committee required anybody on the debate stage to agree that they would support whoever the nominee was. And she said she wouldn't do that necessarily, and she was rethinking that. So she's backtracking from something she said. Now, Trump never committed to doing that, but then again, he never went on the debate stage. So he was least honest to the extent that he didn't say something he didn't mean just to get on the debate stage, which she obviously did.
Also, he was the one who appointed her as ambassador to the UN, and she turned around and stabbed him in the back. It seems a little odd.
She's in line with Mike Pence.
Yes, yeah, there is a line.
Yeah, but folks, that's politics.
No, it shouldn't be.
Well, that's modern.
Did you see yesterday AOC was hounded out of a movie theater by a bunch of protesters that wanted her to just say the word genocide. Just say it. And then they were calling each other liars. I thought that was funny. You're a liar. I am not. You're a liar. I am not. You're a liar. You're both liars. Shut up.
The level of political debate in this country has hit new lows in the past 3 years.
Yes, but where are all the rotten tomatoes than when we need them? The other thing that was significant, I think, this past week was, again, the 9-0 vote of the Supreme Court to restore candidates to the ballots, to the national ballots, unless, in the case of this 14th Amendment, unless the Congress had taken the action to remove an individual.
Right. The 14th Amendment said that removing the, making sure the insurrectionists couldn't run for office was meant to limit state power and left it to Congress. It says that right there in the 14th Amendment, it's left to Congress. So from 9-0, they basically said, we're not going to play this game of who takes what candidate because it's a federal election, not a state election. If the state wants to play those games with candidates in their own state elections, I guess they could. Under this opinion, they can't do it in federal elections. And they said the three liberal justices, everybody voted yes, but the three liberals complained that they thought the Supreme Court had gone too far on the insurrection issue, as if they were giving Trump a clean, you know, record. He's not an insurrectionist, and I didn't read the opinion to read. To mean
well,
that
he's
at
never
all.
Been indicted for insurrection.
Or charged
never been
with
indicted, charged, and he never was
convicted
of it. But that doesn't matter to the
he doesn't get
the Democrat. All it takes is one or two people in a state that could just take somebody off. That would destroy this country.
Well,
because you could then have a Republican. Attorney General in the state say, well, we think Biden's violated his oath. and we think he's letting the this invasion, so we'll take him off the ballot. The whole process would fall apart. They had no choice but to rule on that. The more interesting one is going to be the one that's coming up on presidential immunity. And that's the one that I think they're going to have more nuances to deal with. Don't you, Pat?
There may be, end up being 9 separate opinions. And we'll have to put them all together and try to figure out, what did they say again? I'm not real sure.
Well, whatever happened to innocent and proven guilty, until proven guilty, does that not apply to President Trump?
Trump hasn't had due process since when they started impeaching him back when he was still president. He doesn't get due process, and the courts are not open to him for defamation cases. He's filed several defamation cases, and they just throw them out before they get any traction.
And they're unwilling to give him the
benefit of the court.
The benefit.
All of his election cases were thrown out.
And if you look at the executive office cases, how many other presidents have made, quote, mistakes along the line while in office? Now, they're not held accountable for mistakes. I mean, an executive officer sometimes makes mistakes in their job.
Or they do things on purpose. Obama decided he could kill American citizens that were overseas with drones. That's a crime.
And that's a crime, and we're not holding them accountable for that. That's right.
Yeah, no one would ever run for president if that is allowed to stand, what they're trying to do to Trump.
Yeah.
Why would anybody ever do that?
He's probably the only person who can put up with this garbage without folding.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, folks. And again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Glenn, I guess you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I guess I'll kick this topic off. A local church had a conference on transgender, and it was the biblical view of it. And it was done very well. Dr. Jay Richards, who is amazing on this subject matter, and has written several books, that was a primary speaker. Actually, he was the primary speaker. And they also had a young lady, 19 years old, that's a detransitioned transgender. And that was very impactful. And I'll just, her part was the most important to me. One, the gender-affirming care is all about moving them towards transgender. It's not about caring for them as a person and trying to do what's right by the person. To the point that, of course, this was in California, and the parents aren't allowed to be in the counseling sessions. But the counselors talk to the parents and say, hey, you've got two choices here. You can either have a son, transitioned son, or you can have a dead daughter because she'll commit suicide. They basically say it's one or the other, and then that drives the parents to do something that would not be normal to them. But without taking too much time on this, two things that she came that she shared in her her testimony, which was amazing. One, it's a fantasy. She used that word several times. You know, transitioning, gender transition is a fantasy. It just can't happen. It doesn't happen.
Because your DNA doesn't change.
Yeah. And it wasn't that technical. It's just not successful. And then, but the biggest thing I learned was she says, give absolutely no ground to somebody that comes to you on this topic. And I always thought that this, the points around pronouns was, you know, kind of a baby step. But that, after this this discussion, is the big step, because you actually let them believe they do have a choice when you affirm that. She said, do not give any ground to anybody that's fighting this and going through this challenge.
One of the things that I have read about transgender, one of the effects of transgender is that once a child is transgender, you have a medical patient for the rest of their life, because there are drugs. I mean, again, you're doing something that is against the body's natural ways of doing things. The DNA has not changed. So you've got to hit them with hormones and everything, steroids, everything else, to keep this illusion going. So you've got a medical patient that is going to provide you with some very nice income for the rest of their life.
Yeah, and you, Glenn, you mentioned the tactic that's used with parents, scaring them by saying, well, if you don't do this, if you don't support this change in gender, they're going to kill themselves or they're going to commit suicide. The facts are quite the opposite. The facts are people who go through the gender transition have 20 times the suicide rate of people who do not do it.
And she said she wasn't suicidal. She said she was not suicidal, even though it was promoted to her parents.
But that's a fact. It's worse for the people to go through it.
And these active shooters have proven statistically to not only harm themselves, to harm others.
The other thing, too, and I'm not asking for a show of hands at the table here, but how many of us remember the confusion of adolescence? And this is a situation where people are coming in and taking advantage of that confusion. I mean, I don't. Maybe you were all very happy teenagers.
I was definitely a girl. I was a female teenager, and it never occurred to me to think I was anything else.
If you had been unhappy and somebody had said to you, well, you know, the problem is you're in the wrong body. If you were a boy, you'd be happy. Heard that often enough, you might believe it.
But we do remember the tomboy or something like that, the girl that enjoyed going out and working in the woods, hunting, doing whatever else. I mean, we have a friend whose daughter was training for the Olympic shooting team. And, you know,
what? Is that a girl?
A girl training for a shooting team? Mm-hmm. Well, her brother was her coach, and she was a fantastic sportsman. Now she's left looking for the shooting team, and now she's a proud parent of a couple of kids, and she takes them out hunting with her. Mm-hmm. Now, is she a tomboy? She
Not
enjoys hunting.
She's an athlete.
She's an athlete, and she enjoys hunting.
And
what's wrong with that?
We've come such a long way, Bob, in allowing people, regardless of their sex or gender, to do whatever activities they want to do. So, and where that was maybe not the case years ago. So, you know, you could participate. In fact, it's gotten to the point where women are allowed to engage in all these activities that were traditionally men's, okay? Mm-hmm. But now the men are coming in, competing with them, and beating them, even though
they're interfering with the
progress that we made. And, you know, this, and of course, the whole term of gender affirming care is a typical what the leftists, Marxists do. They use the reverse of what they're intending to do. It's not gender affirming care. It's gender changing effort. That's the truth of it.
Gender destruction.
You're right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, now here we're talking about gender. How about talking about species? I mean, when we hear about somebody coming to school as a cat, yeah. Now do I have to set up a litter box for their bathroom? Folks, where does it stop?
Some of that tendency is acknowledged in our schools here in Craven County.
And that's insane.
I don't know to what level, but I've heard
we have
parents
furries?
Talk about that. Yeah,
we do.
At what point do you send this child to a psychiatrist for long-term therapy to straighten them out rather than going along with a fantasy?
Well, when do you send the psychologist to the yeah.
Well, that's the issue, you know, going on at the Craven County Schools now. They have, I think it's 5 social worker positions, and I think there's an effort to try to expand that. And there's some federal funds, I think, that are going to be made available. And that worries me because a lot of these people who come in as social workers or, and I hate to say this since I'm a psychologist, but a lot of psychologists are the same way. They believe in this stuff. They advocate it. So if you have a child that's having some issues, they're going to put it into the context of what they're trained in. So they're going to say, well, you know, you're probably having some gender identification issues, which may not be related to it at all. And then it goes down the road. The more of these professionals like social workers that are in the schools, the more of this confusion you're going to have, not less, because most of them are committed to believing that that's the right thing to do because how they're trained in school is a lot of this leftist gender transition theories.
You know, way, way back, and when I was in school, I mean, I remember I wanted to be a bank robber because I was watching some movies. So fortunately, they didn't let me do that. So
I saw a meme this morning. It said, if you buy a house, you'll be paying the bank for 30 years. If you rob a bank, you'll only pay for it for 10 years. You do the math.
Now, Pat, you had something to say about the funding of the transgender movement.
Yes, I read an article this morning that says blood money, two of the biggest funders of the radical transgender movement in the U.S. are China-linked billionaires. And they're Marxists, socialists. They are spending this money specifically to upset the capitalist order. Now, we've heard for years about China's going to replace the U.S. as the premium country on earth. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and so yes. This is soft warfare, and we ought to be concerned about it.
And the thing is, Pat, it's just like you're saying, our adversaries are trying to destroy us internally. It's like, just like you said, that's part of their strategy. It's like the mass immigration that deteriorates our culture, our principles, and so on. That is dealing with gender care. And here's the thing that worries me. A lot of us recognize what's going on, but it worries me that we have people in positions that could do something about it that are not doing it. For example, we made some resolutions to the current Board of Education, local Board of Education, November, one of which would have prevented any sort of transgender instruction in the schools. We haven't gotten a word back from them. And I have made contact, asked them several times, where do you stand on this resolution? There were a couple other resolutions too. No response. That's all we get is silence.
Mm-hmm. So are they in fact responsible to the parents? Are they responsible to the community that pays the bills?
Well,
we don't know.
They're responsible to the people who elect them. And these people that are on the board, my understanding when I voted for some of them was that they would take strong positions against some of this, but I don't see it. Maybe it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's too late, but something needs to be done.
Now, there was part of the primary yesterday was the school board, and if I'm correct, none of the 3 people that won were incumbents. In the Republican primary, none of the 3 people that won in the Republican Party were incumbents. Is that correct?
I believe that that's the case.
So maybe parents are waking up and
it was actually 4. It was 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Okay, and they're all, none
and
of
three
them.
Of them do not have a. They've won because they don't have an opponent in the general. The only one that's got a primary is District 5, over in in my area. Everybody else is the people that won.
Okay.
Won
so
three and seven.
So you have an election in November on your school committee.
The other three.
And the ones that won were not incumbents.
Correct.
So maybe parents are waking up and getting ready to say something.
Maybe we need to reintroduce the resolutions that weren't acted on.
Maybe
they will be acted on.
After the election in November.
Yeah.
I have an issue here. The Biden administration is destroying our national security infrastructure. I don't know if people pay attention to these type of things, but do you remember when Biden drained our national petroleum reserve, our strategic?
And it's still down.
And he's doing it again in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. He drained it to try to get the cost of gas down. So he could claim that he was doing something when it was topping $4, $5. That hasn't been replaced. Just recently, we had a giant helium reserve discovered. But it turns out that he's selling the federal helium reserve system, which could lead to severe disruptions in the U.S. helium supply chain. And I didn't know this, but helium is what makes an MRI machine work.
I didn't
keeps
know
it
that
keeps
either.
It cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's.
Okay. They're also selling off our military medical reserve.
Oh, gads.
Okay. To fund illegals.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're going to switch gears. Mary, you wanted to add something about our upcoming.
On March 19th, at the CCTA public meeting at Stanley Hall, 7:00, our speaker is going to be Brett Pike. He is the founder of the Classical Learner Homeschool Company and the creator of the Homeschools Connected curriculum. He has published 7 children's books and is an Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find his work at www.classicallearner.com.
What's the date?
Excuse me, March 19th, 7:00. This is a program that parents need to attend.
Very good. Thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. You have a great week.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.